Good afternoon. It is 1:36 on Thursday, August 6, 2019. This is a special meeting regarding an administrative discussion that may include an internal employee grievance. This also may be discussed in an executive session. The legal authority for closing this portion of the meeting, if deemed necessary, is North Dakota Century Code Chapter 44-04, including North Dakota Century Code Sections 44-04-19.1 and 19.2. In a closed meeting, the commission's discussion would be limited to the topic and executive session described as previously mentioned. At this point in time, are there any discussion matters that anyone would like to proceed with prior to entering executive session?
I don't think too much discussion needs to really go on prior to turning it over to Nate here. I know I spoke with all three of you individually, and I know you had a general discussion about this previously as well. If you guys do have any general questions, I know that Nate is truly capable of answering all these. He is the employment law attorney that's assigned to this commission.
Okay. I guess I think one discussion that probably doesn't require special session is just the process.
Sure.
So if there's any, if you can just step through that process, Nate, and your understanding of it, you know, how this proceeds both from the individual, what they need to do or what has been done to date. I mean, I feel like I'm a little still somewhat in the dark about the process.
Can I interrupt really quick? And I apologize for this. I did not identify myself or who is around the table. And just for the record, I'm Commissioner Brian Crotius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Andy Christman. And then
Nathan Swihovic from the Attorney General's office.
John Shue with the PSC staff.
Brian Johnson with PSC staff.
Okay, thank you. My apologies.
Okay, so from I'm aware of the situation that kind of led to this, but just to give you a generalized background that could be applicable to any employee situation, an employee or an applicant that has some type of claim that they were discriminated against, a reprisal action, any type of harassment, or any of these protected characteristics for employees or applicants, that they're identified in the admin code in the Human Rights Act chapter as well. Those are the things like race, color, religion, age, disabilities, status with respect to marriage, those sorts of things. If an employee feels they've been discriminated against in one of those areas regarding their employment or an application, the first step is always going to be that the employee grieves through the internal grievance procedure. Jack sent me your guys' grievance policy and procedure, and there is some specifics, the specific processes for an employee to go through depending on where they fall and who their supervisor may or may not be. I think the policy itself is okay, however, it looks a little outdated. The State Personnel Board doesn't do, on page 2D, doesn't handle appeals anymore. That's all HRMS now. So you may want to update some of this, and I can work with Jack or whoever on some of the things I had found. But otherwise, I think the internal grievance procedure seems to be all right. From what I had seen, and you all must have a copy now, but the first step, the employee generally goes to their immediate supervisor. If you know, a lot of times it can be handled informally, it might be something small. If it doesn't, the employee can file a written grievance or do that in the first place without speaking to the supervisor, using your guys' identified form. I don't know what form that is, but I would verify that SFN 18409 is still an accurate, usable form. That immediate supervisor would then make a decision within 5 working days, and then if the employee or applicant is not happy with that supervisor's decision, they can appeal it to the next level authority, which would sometimes be the executive secretary. But if the immediate supervisor is the executive secretary, the employee would appeal to the commission. There's certain time frames set out in your policy that I'm not going to go through, but that generally relates to when everyone needs to have a decision or a response into the other party. Now, you can eventually appeal to HRMS, Human Resource Management Services, for an acts of discrimination or I think reprisal, some of the other things outlined that I discussed before. However, that requires a specific form outlined in the administrative rules, specifically under 4-07, Chapter 20.2. That encompasses the applicant or employee grievance of discrimination or reprisal. So the way that works is if HRMS receives that, they will, I think they're bound by statute without making any type of discretionary call, to line up an administrative law judge from OAH. At that time, the ALJ's first step is to analyze whether the internal grievance has been followed, I believe. Yeah, their first step is to determine whether HRMS has jurisdiction. And in order for HRMS to have jurisdiction, the internal grievance process needed to be followed. The form needed to be would need to be used. So any type of communication that wouldn't be a prescribed HRMS appeal form would not be considered an appeal. And moreover, even if it were the prescribed form, the LJ, looking into it, should realize that if the internal grievance process was skipped over, HRMS no longer has jurisdiction to hear that appeal. There essentially was no appeal then at that point. I see confused.
No, it's just different than I think as it was described to me, that we could move it to HRMS.
You can, thank you for reminding me, you can waive the internal grievance process and it would go immediately to HRMS. I never see a benefit to agencies waiving that, so I never recommend it. It's a good, you as the employer are the first line in a case that you are involved, you have the people, you know who to talk to and how to investigate closest to the issue. So I always recommend that the employers or agencies do their portion in the internal grievance and assess the validity of the claim without waiving it. There are certain circumstances where waiving may be appropriate, but that is generally not what I would advise. Now, HRMS can't unilaterally initiate an investigation. It's not like the Labor Department, who receives a complaint and has statutory authority to launch their own investigation and the employer has to comply with them. For Human Resource Management Services to be initiated an investigation, they have to be formally requested by the employer or agency. So their ability to investigate is not granted unless requested
by the agency.
Okay. So, right. Now a full blown, the term investigation is used if an employee were to initiate an internal grievance in compliance with your grievance procedure. The term investigate can somewhat be flexible. I think it depends on what the severity of the complaint is. If you have a hostile work environment complaint, that's going to require a lot more of a formal complaint. You may want to bring HRMS in at that point, depending on who the allegations are against. in order to do the investigation, but it also could require, or it could be as simple as discussing amongst the few people that would have had knowledge and issuing your written decision at that point. And when I say you, that could be the supervisor, executive secretary, or this board commission. Now, the one thing I had seen in the administrative rules in comparison with the policy is the internal grievance policy does not, to me, seem to contemplate this appeal. I'm trying to find my specific issue with that.
Would it be an appeal in case one person is disallowed from being able to do the investigation?
What I had seen when I looked at Administrative Rule 4-07-20.2-04.1 was the requirements and the process outlined for appealing discrimination as an applicant is a little bit different than the internal grievance process. Now, you may have an employee come and say, there's workplace bullying happening in the office. You're not going to be under the Administrative Rule 4.1 for that situation. You're going to follow your internal grievance procedures, and if an employee is unhappy with that, well, that workplace bullying is not grievable beyond the agency. But that was my example of why you'd operate under the grievance policy as opposed to the administrative rules. For this situation, if an applicant feels they have been discriminated against, you would probably operate under 4.1 because the differences to me are significant enough and not necessarily a problem, but enough that you would want to follow the administrative rule in that process. And it's not that much different. In order to follow the procedure to grieve discrimination under 4.1, the applicant who feels discriminated against needs to file a written appeal with the agency appointing authority, is the phrase used, which is the individual or individuals who have the authority to make hiring decisions. So I think, does the PSC, is it always the same people making the hiring decision? No. So it could change?
The hiring committee can change.
The hiring committee can change.
Right.
Okay. So I would think, is there any, just because you guys are a commission, I'm not as familiar with how, is there any one person that kind of has oversight of any hiring?
The one person who would have oversight over the hiring process generally is the executive secretary of the hiring and also letting people go.
Okay. So I think, it's not exactly clear, but I would think the executive secretary, in order to comply with 4.1, you would need the written appeal to go to the executive secretary.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be received by the executive secretary within 15 working days of the date of discrimination, alleged discrimination or reprisal. If they're outside that, the only way they can appeal it or go through the process is for good cause, which there may be, it's not too hard to have good cause, but if you're waiting 60 working days, you're probably not going to get your appeal through.
You mean for good cause of why they missed the 15
right,
days?
Right.
Yeah.
So the employee files, or the applicant files, a written grievance with the appointing authority. Now, again, I'm not 100% clear whether that needs to be the specific five-person hiring committee that person was an applicant to. It's not clear in statute or administrative rules, so I would have to double-check on that. But I think the applicant would be safe at least always going to the executive secretary because that executive secretary essentially always, no matter who the hiring committee is, has some form of hiring authority, correct? So
that's my understanding. A lot of times the direct supervisor of that division will essentially take the lead in determining who the best candidate. Usually that's the case. However, ultimately, I believe it's usually the executive secretary who handles most of the grievances.
Okay. So the executive secretary receives within 15 working days of the alleged discrimination, receives the written grievance. That person, that executive secretary, would then have 15 working days to review the appeal and provide a response to the applicant. Thereafter, if the employee does not agree with the, again, I'm going to use the phrase of the administrative rule, the agency appointing authority, if that is the executive director or executive secretary, the employee doesn't like the response by the executive secretary, then the employee can appeal to HRMS, and they would have exhausted their internal grievance requirements. So again, without a waiver, these kinds of things need to be processed through the agency first. Any direct appeal to HRMS without doing that and without obtaining a waiver should be invalid, and HRMS would not have jurisdiction. But if they go through it, the process, and if we're specifically under 4.1, or if it's a situation where we might be under the internal policies, if you go through and they get a decision and they're not happy with the ultimate decision, once that internal process is exhausted, then again, they can appeal to HRMS. So, but HRMS shouldn't, if a letter or an email or some type of general correspondence like that is how the HRMS receives the notice of an appeal, that I'm guessing I'd have to double check with them, but that technically isn't a sufficient appeal. They would need to use the HRMS form, and that's identified in 4-07 in the administrative rules. I'd have to look specifically where, but I know it's identified there. The exact HRMS appeal form they'd need to use.
Okay. That's helpful.
Yeah. Sorry
that's good.
Got repetitive.
For me, anyway.
It depends on the situation where, what lane you may be taking, you know. But almost always the employee is going to have to go through the internal process first. Now, I do have comments about the specific situation.
Yeah. So maybe, and I have some questions about this specific situation too. So,
and may I advise, we're very limited in time already. I know he has.
Oh yeah, I have
to
meet
7 minutes.
I have witness
prep
in 6 minutes.
Should have cut that short earlier. But the if we want to go into executive session for a quick discussion, we should do that now.
Okay.
Okay, at this time, a motion would be in order to move into executive session. I move the commission convene an executive session for an administrative discussion of internal personnel matters.
Second.
Should I just ask for the roll call vote?
Yes, please.
So we'll go to a roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
Aye.
Commissioner Christman?
Aye.
And Commissioner Crashus? Aye. So the motion is approved. The executive session will be recorded, and all members of the commission are reminded to limit their discussion during the executive session to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or any final action by the commission must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting, unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the executive session. The prohibition on taking final action during the executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instructions to our attorney or negotiator. We will now ask the members of the public who are attending the meeting to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the executive session and reconvening the open portion of the meeting at approximately, even though I know, Nathan, you're leaving early at, we can continue on though without Nathan, 2:30. I think I'll have enough questions to get to that point. The minutes will show that the executive session will begin at 2:04 p.m. and will be attended by
1:56.
Whoops, I did that backwards. 1:56 p.m. and will be attended by Commissioner Fedorchuk, Commissioner Christman, Commissioner Crashus, Brian Johnson, John Hsu, and Nathan, help me with your last
name. Swyovic.
Swyovic.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Now we'll stop the recording and...